Cheerscast is part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
I know something that'll make you feel even better.
Yeah, what's that?
Guess who's taking over Melville's today?
Me?
Wow. John Allen Hill, Manhattan's foremost restaurateur. And guess who made it all happen?
Me?
Wow! No, me. I was talking to Bobby.
Wait. Does this story have anything to do with me?
Yes.
Wow! Go on.
When Mr. Hill makes Melville's a toast to Boston's nightlife, our little bar will ride right along with it.
And all because of me.
Wow! You wanna go where everybody knows your name.
Hello and welcome back to Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and joining me for the 201st episode of Cheers is one of the Fire and Water Network founders and noted film historian. Please welcome back Rob Kelly. What's up, Rob?
Ryan! I am very happy to be back, and I didn't realize this was the 201st episode, which means it was the first one after the big anniversary show. And what a way to hit the ground running, right? After setting the table and looking forward now. Wow.
It kind of kicks off a new era of the show in one sense because of the guest character who becomes a feature for the rest of the show. Yeah. Yep. This is a new phase that they kicked off. Yeah. It's 201 now, and we are on season 9, episode 9, Bad Neighbor Sam. This one written by Sherry Aiken and Bill Steinkellner, directed by James Burrows. The original air date was Thursday, November 15th, 1990. Melville's, the restaurant right above Cheers, has a new owner, a haughty and smug John Allen Hill. John intends to elevate the clientele standards of Melville's and asks Sam to put a doormat down at the foot of the stairs so patrons won't track dirt into his restaurant. When Sam refuses, John informs him that according to the property deed, John actually owns Sam's pool room and restrooms. Of course, in the spirit of being neighborly, John will forego rent payment on the rooms as long as Sam acquiesces to things like the doormat and moving Cheers' garbage to a different part of the alley and parking Sam's Corvette in a different spot and calling upstairs to let Melville's know when they have customers coming, and basically turning Cheers into Melville's lounge. Sam compromises on all of these things until John has Sam's prized Corvette towed for parking in his space. Sam forbids Melville's customers from using Cheers as an entrance. In retaliation, John puts up a brick wall in Cheers' hallway, sealing off the bathrooms and pool room. After trying unsuccessfully to bring the wall down with a sledgehammer, Sam surrenders to John and offers to pay monthly rent to use his back rooms again. In appreciation, John does the courtesy of telling Sam that his vet was towed again. Sam goes crazy and lashes out by trying to destroy the welcome mat that John gave him, only to discover it's actually a really good mat. All right, Rob, you requested this one a long time ago. What was it about this episode?
Well, it's obviously an incredibly funny episode. Mm-hmm. The writing is incredible. The performances are great. Ted Danson in particular is really superb in this one, winding Sam tighter and tighter and tighter. But I have to give it to Keen Curtis as John Allen Hill. It is a truly dementedly funny guest performance. And I mean, obviously he came back. I don't know if that was always intent. I'm guessing by making him the new owner of Melville's, they were telling him, you're going to come back every so often. But I've always liked him because he appeared on one of my favorite MASHes of all time. He's funny in that episode. And
he was in Iron Guts Kelly, your namesake.
Iron Guts Kelly, yes. He's in the third season, Colonel Wardman. And that's a completely different, insane performance. This is just... He's funny in 17 different ways in this episode. And I've mentioned, I went back, sometimes I go back and I listen to our old Cheers cast. I don't know if that's weird or not, but I do it sometimes. And I mentioned this on every episode in the Rebecca era. And I apologize, I'm repeating myself. But I said a bunch of times, I think the Diane era is I think the show was better and a little more original during those years. But I think the Rebecca years, the show was a little funnier. So each season that I've been lucky enough to have been on the show, I kind of find one where I go, oh, man, that one just was funny, from mm-hmm. beginning to end. And this is that one, just from the very beginning to the very end. Everybody gets something funny. And like I said, it's an amazing guest performance by Keane Curtis.
I looked him up on IMDb because I knew of the MASH connection, and I saw that, yeah, he will come back. He's in 15 episodes of Cheers throughout the last three
Really?
Seasons.
Did that many? 15?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
The one thing that I found fascinating, I saw this on IMDb. In the NPR radio drama for Star Wars, the original A New Hope, Keane Curtis did the voice of Grand Moff Tarkin.
I can see that.
The role that Peter Cushing played in the movie. Yeah.
I can totally see that.
He did a lot of other voice work. He also did tons of stage work. He played Daddy Warbucks in a production of Annie.
Okay. Yeah. I can see that too.
Yeah. So I'm going to say, I'll confess to you and to the listeners, the first time I saw this, when I was all of 9, whatever, I did not like the character. I did not like John Allen Hill. And
I
cringed every time I saw him. And I kind of mentioned this earlier in the season when I was talking about Gary's, whenever they had their Gary's Old Town Tavern episodes. As funny as they were, as good as they were, I get so protective of the Cheers gang, and it's fine when they can terrorize each other, when Sam gets ridiculed and brought low by his own doing, or when it's like, you know, something that he's trying to get Diane or Rebecca and it backfires in his face. But when an exterior force comes in, like going back to like the first season with the blowhard New York Yankees fan that Carla has. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
And like just other characters, when they're just kind of crappy to the show, to our characters, I'm like, hey, now, like, I got to fight for my people. So to have John Allen Hill like insert himself in this way, and I was like, okay, Sam does not deserve this. Yeah, he was kind of arrogant, stuck up, like he refused this generous gift. But I was like, he doesn't deserve this treatment. But like the more I kind of grew up and aged with the show and revisited, I was like, okay, for one thing, John Allen Hill is hilarious, and I have to accept that. But in a lot, like he is going to be the new recurring villain, the new antagonist they sprinkle throughout. And I think last season, in season 8, Cheers realized what they needed with the insertion of the Robin Colcord character, that foil for Sam throughout the year. And of course, they couldn't do that with another romantic rival. They couldn't repeat it that way, and they couldn't keep bringing Robin. So what else? Who could be this other foil? Well, it's a professional foil, and it's not Rebecca. So it's this guy, and the antagonism that he'll bring throughout the life of the show, just in very funny and memorable moments. It's a little bit nice. And it also, you know, Sam kind of brings up that everything was going so well for him for a few weeks after he got the bar back. Now he has to be brought low again.
I, as someone who has watched Cheers obsessively, not like you, but watch it obsessively since it aired, I always did sort of wonder, like, how do you get along with somebody, or don't you, when, like, you kind of co-own a property that, like, abuts one another? Because I've always wondered, is that Melville's the stairwell, or is that Cheers? Who owns the stairs, right? If somebody falls down the stairs, and we've even seen that happen from Melville, but like if somebody is going up the stairs, and is that Melville's fault? Is that Cheers' fault? It's always like, what a weird sitch, right? That like, and now we find out in this episode that basically Cheers was an old extension of Melville's, and at some point it got divested. But I've always just been fascinated, like, the mutually owned property of Cheers. And so for someone who thinks of things like that, I find this episode fascinating, that it's, you know, they're like, wow, this is sort of Cheers, but not, I don't exactly know.
Unless they had a very, very trusting and friendly relationship, I would assume like that this kind of, it would almost have to go through lawyers. Like you would need a lawyer arbitrating like any conversation between these two businesses just to make sure that everything is civil and nothing gets personal. But,
yeah, exactly. We didn't Norm work for them once, right? When he was out of work, didn't he go upstairs and work for Melville's?
He was a dishwasher. Yeah.
Right. Because he smelled like tuna, right? From all the cats were following him.
Following him.
Yeah. That was that one. So, but yeah, this is just so, Keane Curtis, just so funny. And again, Ted Danson, man, just I've said this as well before. I find it really impressive that Ted Danson, we know that Ted Danson in real life is not Sam Malone or even close. And in fact, when he got the gig, he was like, me? because he didn't see himself as this sort of confident Lothario. But for a guy who is so handsome mm-hmm. and was such a leading man, being willing to make Sam such a put upon jackass in the back half of the show, I think that takes, I mean, again, it's more fun for him to play, for Ted Danson to play. But I just mm-hmm. think I could imagine some leading men being like, I don't know. Right. I don't want to play that. But he did. He get, you know, he's driving me crazy. You know, like just everything. He just lose. And in fact, and the even Cheers gang is betting, making money off of it. Yeah. It's brutal.
Yeah. The teaser for this one, actually, I'm sure this is a one and only. It's a scene between Carla and Lilith for the teaser.
Yeah, rare,
Carla,
right? Yeah.
Carla comes in with a box of her kids' old toys that she was going to get rid of. And she's like, hey, maybe little Frederick Crane would like them. So she shows them and Lilith is going through them. Lilith is interested until she sees the contents, and it includes toy guns, toy Confederate soldiers, she mentions, to relive the carnage and agony of the Civil War. And a toy doll that screams and sparks fly out of its eyes. And Lilith is like, these are inappropriate. Any child who plays with these toys, she's like, I think they would develop personality disorder, possibly become psychotic. And her husband, Fraser, walks up and recognizes the doll. He's like, Sparkhead. And he goes crazy, like with childish glee, like he's reliving his childhood, playing with this doll. And Lilith is just like, see, do I want my son to grow up like that?
What a toy, right? Like, how would that ever have been a toy that if you drag it along a surface, it sparks fly out of its head? I mean, I guess it's the six. I mean, he's what? He's in his 40s in the 80s. So, I mean, he would have been a kid in the 50s. So they, you know, it was like jarts and stuff. It was just like, all right, it's fine. But yeah, what an insane toy. And then, of course, Lilith has the button. Do you want my child to turn out like that? It's perfect. Great button.
After the credits, Sam comes back with a beautiful woman. He kisses her goodbye. He tells the group that Martha's Vineyard is the sweetest place on earth. And then he says, goodbye, Martha. He waves her off. And nice little joke there. And then he comes back. Sam is beaming. He's in a really good mood. And Rebecca tells him, hey, there's this new guy, John Allen Hill, taking over Melville's. He's a famous restaurateur from New York. He's going to raise Melville's profile, which will also help raise Cheers as well.
The runner, when he buys everybody around because he's in such a good mood. And then the whole, like, is it about me? Wow. It's about you. Wow. And he does it three times. And it's such a great, fun, up way to start the show, right? Like, he's just so excited. And I love it. And I liked it when they do the fourth wow, the guys do it. Is it about me? And they go, wow. They're like, the gang. This is just like, oh, I want to hang out with these people. So this is so fun. Such a great way to open the show.
Woody comes in. He's really excited that Kelly sent him pictures of herself from Paris. And he kind of shows the guys, and Norman Fraser are looking through there and kind of like, oh, wow, she looks really nice. And they're like, oh, yeah, here she's kind of in bed in oversized T-shirt, kind of a sexy picture. She's reading Jésus avec stupide. Like, I'm the stupid book. And they're like, well, who took these pictures? I mean, probably her roommate, but Carla sees a man's thumb in one of the pictures. And Woody's like, oh my God, I can't believe it. She's having some hairy French guy take sexy pictures of her. Well, two can play that game. I'll have a hairy Frenchman take sexy pictures of me.
Perfect Woody response, right? It makes total sense.
And again, Fraser just has the look at Norm, and he just shakes his head. Well, and then the man, John Allen Hill, introduces himself. He's able to identify Sam Malone because his hat check girl described his hair. He's like, she didn't do it justice. And Sam, well, it's kind of a hobby. And John is like, the joy it must bring you.
That line is so good. Because he's bald.
Sam doesn't get it.
Because he's bald, everybody. You haven't seen the episode. John Allen Hill is bald. And that actor, King Curtis, has been apparently bald his whole life. Yeah. You just mentioned he played Daddy Warbucks, and he's bald in MASH. He's shaving his head in that episode. That episode's 20 years before this one. So King Curtis must have like lost his hair when he was young, and he just kept it over. But the way the joy it must bring you, it's such a good delivery. Oh my God, it's so great.
And John brings in this gift since they're going to be neighbors. It's a welcome mat with a duck on it. And Sam's like, well, we've never used a welcome mat before. And Carla pipes in from across the bar, not counting Clavin, which I think is probably the most Cliff does in this episode, is just being the butt of that joke.
Yeah, he's not in this one very much.
Sam doesn't think the mat goes well with the aesthetic of his sports bar.
There it is. He should not have done that.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's weird because I have a vision of a sports bar now, like in a sort of modern context. And I'm like that duck mat goes right along with Cheers.
It's
the same color as the walls and the floor and everything.
It's a mat. No one's going to care. And right, yeah, right. It fits perfect. They have a moose on the wall. What are they talking about?
Exactly. Yeah.
That's the thing that starts the engine of this episode. But that is always like, Sam, what are you doing? Why would you do that? Why would you turn that down?
What he says in Hanover, Indiana, duck hunting is considered the manliest of sports. He's like, really? You hunt duck? He's like, well, no, we don't really hunt. It's just an excuse for the guys to sit there and, you know, sip hot cocoa and make those sounds with those duck collar things.
I made mine out of a Good and Plenty box.
And John's response is like, he's cute. Does he come with his own dueling banjo?
I like that when you see Woody's face, he clearly does not get that joke, but he knows it's an insult. Like he knows he's been insulted, but he obviously doesn't get the reference. But
I
like that. Yeah.
And John, he wants Cheers clientele to use the mat before they track dirt up to Melville's place. And Sam says no, basically. He's not going to do that. And he's like, okay, well, you know, it just happened. Here's something you'll find funny, Sam. He's like, he was looking over the property and the deed. He actually owns the space and Cheers behind that, beyond that hallway. Sam's like, nope, that's our bathroom and pool room. He's like, no, they're actually mine. They used to be Melville's stockroom. Immediately, Sam's tone changes because he's like, hang on. He's like, this could end up being really bad for me. He recognizes the danger. So he's like, why don't I put this bat right down here for you? And he's like, really accommodating. And John's like, okay, well, some of the garbage outside Melville's, it looks like it was crushed by, like, it's covered in beer cans that appear to have been crushed by against someone's forehead. And Carla turns to Phil, which is amazing because the actor Phil Perlman is Carla, is Rhea Perlman's father. So she's talking to her dad in the scene. But she turns to Phil, who is, we've slowly seen it come up, and it becomes more apparent this year. He's the new Al. Like
he's Al, been right? Like
the other old guy, but he is becoming the new Al because he gets these kind of lines. Because they're like, somebody crushed these beer cans against their head. And Carla turns to Phil, I warned you about that. And he goes, hey, I get crazy.
Yeah. he's not as good as Al.
No, he isn't.
But I mean, Al passed away, so what can they do? So, but he serves his purpose, you know. And he gets a great line in the final Cheers of all time, right? Where he talks about the working on the nuclear testing. That's his line. But yeah, that's a good. It is again. Because I'm fascinated by this nonsense. The pool room was once Melville's storage room. Okay, so does that mean that Melville's owned everything? They had to have, right? Because you wouldn't not own the main part of the, you know what I mean? Like, well, it can't be your storage room if you have to walk through someone else's property to get to your storeroom. That makes no sense. So it must have been that Melville's owned everything at some point.
So, and this just occurred to me, and I'm going like my own little deep cut here. There was an episode, season one or season two with Harry the Hat.
Okay.
When he's in the back, he's in the pool room playing.
Right.
And Sam was like, how'd you get in here? He's like, I came in through the back door. He's like, we don't have a back door. He's like, well, then it's my secret. Maybe there is actually another entrance through Melville's to the back of the bar.
I guess, right? But like they're below ground, though.
Who knows?
Wait, who knows? It makes no sense. Is there an elevator we don't know about? I don't know. That's a
dumb way to
that never made any sense to me. That it's like, wait, how you? That means the whole thing below you was yours because
you have to assume like the walls have changed, like they knocked down things and like rearranged.
I get right, maybe so. Right.
They'd have to change the entire structure of it. So who knows?
Yeah. It could be right. But I like the way Sam just says, "Oh no, John, that's our pool room and our bathroom." Like he says, he's saying it very casually, like, no. He knows. He's already being threatened. I love it.
And John also makes it clear. He's like, Sam needs to park his Corvette in a different space. And Sam's like, I've always parked there. And John's like, not anymore.
There you go.
All right.
Bad start. Yep.
And then after John walks away, Sam just kind of tells Rebecca, he's like, I don't like that guy. And she's like, well, I think he's classy and sophisticated. And Sam says, Cheers is classy enough. And across the bar, we get Woody, Cliff, and Frasier, and Norm all making those duck call sounds with his homemade duck collars as Norm is pretending to shoot.
I love that Frasier is a full-on barfly in this episode, right? Yep. He's not standing apart. He is totally in. He's doing Sparkhead. He's doing the wow. Like, he is totally one of the guys in this episode. Yep.
And then an indeterminate time has passed, and Cheers is full of upscale yuppie types waiting for their tables upstairs. Carla acts as if she's never been paid with a credit card before.
I just put a one in front of it.
These charge cards are great. And charge slips. And then the scene. Norm and Cliff come out of the pool room. And like, I'll buy you a beer. And they turn and look. And a couple, Bradley and Hillary, are sitting at the corner in Norm's spot. And the guys are just kind of, what do we do? This is awkward.
I love that Norm starts losing the ability to even say words, right? He's just like, oh.
Because he's just like, I was sitting there. And there was, no one was sitting here when we came. He's like, no, I was sitting there yesterday. And really, since the Ford administration. Since
the Ford administration, right, yeah. Exactly. I love when he's like, I'm Bradley. I'm Norm. Yeah, he says it with that, like, that's the status, right? That's his status.
He's almost embarrassed. He has to, like, pull. He has, you know.
Yes.
Yeah. He's like, I'm sorry, I have to name drop myself. Yeah, do you know who I am? But this is kind of awkward. But he's like, I'm Norm. He's like, hi, I'm Bradley. I'm Hillary. What do you do, Norm? He goes, I sit there. And then he just starts to almost hyperventilate. And Cliff is telling him, look, I've never seen him get this bad. You got to move. You got to get out of your seats. And they're refusing. And Norm just collapses to the floor. And a crowd just converges on him, like covers up. They're like, what happened? This man just fell. And you just see him like spring back up between someone's legs and get back in the seat because the other couple left just check on him. And he's like, hey, what's all the commotion? What's going on there?
I don't know. Set him up, Wood. It's such a great and the way the crowd reacts to it, like they laugh, but they also clap. Like it's a real like, yeah, my guy, you know, our guys are got their chairs back. It's just such a wonderful. Yeah. That's such a great gag.
And then it's followed up pretty soon after because we get the all this new clientele expects Woody to call upstairs to see if their table is ready. And they're expecting to pay for their drinks at Melville's.
Yeah, that's
and
a problem.
And Sam is like, whoa, no. He's ticked off. Cheers is not Melville's lounge. And he's going to talk to John about it. And Norma's like, you know, Sam might be overreacting. Cut to a stranger walks into the bar and goes, ciao, gang. And the whole crowd. The whole crowd is like, Bradley.
And then, of course, Woody's response, particular to my interests, the times they are a-changing, Mr. Peterson. Now, I'm not a scholar like you. How many Dylan references have there been on Cheers? Because there's only the two that I can think of, and I was your guest on the other one.
When Diane is singing just
like a woman. So there you go. I think I'm 2 for 2 on the Bob Dylan references on Cheers. I don't know. We have to, it might be the other ones later on, but I think those are just the two, but I love that.
I can't imagine those are the only two given how prolific the catalog is. And maybe it's 270 something episodes, but yeah, I don't remember.
I love the guy's jog, Brantley's jog, because he's yeah. He looks like he's like an upper class Norm because he's a heavier guy. He has this happy little jog as he parks himself down to what's clearly his stool. Mm-hmm. That is so, oh God, that's such a great gag. Brantley!
I love it, and I've talked about this in the past, how the show over the course of its life did such an amazing job those first couple of years of seeding Norm's entrance. He walks in and everybody shouts Norm, that after several years, they could make jokes about that and kind of make jokes by flipping that and going against the audience's expectations. They did it with Pepe when he went to the bar when Sam was working down in Mexico.
right.
There's a whole thing when Norm walks in and nobody says his name and he's like, that's it, Woody, I'm going to leave. I can't stay here or something. There was a whole deal where he convinced his employees at his painting company that he was Anton Kreitzer, this other boss.
Oh, right.
They think he's really Kreitzer. And he's like, no, I'll prove it. Hey, good afternoon, everybody. And the whole bar shouts, Anton.
Anton, yeah.
And it even culminated just the previous episode, episode 7 of the season before the 200th episode, little Freddie Crane, Frasier and Lil's son, his very first word is when Norm walks in and the baby shouts, "Norm!"
I forgot about that one. That's great.
Oh, it's amazing. It's so yeah, the fact they're able to do this, this is this joke. Like, if you've been watching the show for 9 years, you're like, oh man, it's, they're joking this play on Norm's entrance that they haven't done in a long time. But, yeah.
And what did Peacock do after George Wendt unfortunately passed away? They put out a supercut of all the Norms
and
from every episode.
Yeah.
And I sat and I watched it.
Me too. I still think my favorite one is, "What are you up to, Mr. Peterson? My ideal weight if I was 11 feet tall."
I think it's a dog-eat-dog world, Sonny. I'm wearing Milkbone underwear because it's just the laugh it gets out of Ted Danson is so good.
Sam comes rushing down the stairs because he needs to borrow Norm's coat and tie to get into Melville's because of their dress code. Frasier tries to calm him down. He says,
"Another great joke coming in."
Another one. He's like, "The worst thing you can do is react emotionally in a business situation." And Sam is like, "I can't help it, Frasier. This guy is turning cheers into..." Well, it's like he's turning it into something that Diane would have liked. And Frasier's just like, "All right, Sam, you hold him. I'll hit him."
The pause, right? The pause, the two pauses. The one where Sam says, "I don't know, Frasier. I just think he's turning it into something Diane would have liked." There's the pause, right? He's thinking about, and then that it sinks in on Frasier, right? And then it's just like, and again, like you're talking about with the Norm, like they know. These people have been watching the show long enough to know that what Diane means.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people are going to be like, "Well, I don't know what that means," but most people know what that name. Just invoking that name, you know, like the spirit, you know, that's a great gag. Great gag.
Sam sits down with John in the bar, like tries to have a civil, professional discussion. He doesn't like that John is delegating new responsibilities to Cheers employees. John's like, "Hey, I understand that. That makes sense. But I think I deserve some leeway since I'm allowing Cheers patrons to hit my pool room and restrooms free of charge." Sam argues, "I'm allowing Melville's patients to use our stairs."
Oh, well, okay, the stairs. He says that line. I'm sorry. I forgot all about that. He said my stairs. So those are Cheers' stairs. Okay.
Yeah. John doesn't want to argue about it. He just came down to do Sam a favor, giving him the number of the impound lot where he had his Corvette towed. And Sam is just, you towed my vet?" He's like, and that's it. No, Melville's clients are no longer permitted to use my stairs. They can't go through that. John is like, "Well, that's a little drastic, don't you think?" And he's like, "I don't think so, because it's not like I'm tenting their chrome with an iron hook."
Giant metal hook. He's so mad.
Can't even speak almost. So John announces to the crowd that Melville's patrons aren't allowed in Cheers anymore, or aren't welcome in Cheers anymore. If they go upstairs to Melville's, he'll treat them to a complimentary cocktail. At which point, Norm jumps up and he's ready to go.
Carla tries to get one, right?
Yeah,
and
it's
Norm's like, Carla, "Bring me down one."
Right. Sam spots Norm. He's like, "Sit down." And he's like, "All right, Carla, bring me down."
No loyalty at all.
And Sam, trying to act victorious, he's like, "You know, I think I handled that well. Nobody messes with Sam, least of all not some hairless king of the snobs." And Woody, just to Frasier, like, "Wow, that was a real shot at you from out of nowhere, Dr. Crane."
So good. And then Frasier rolls his hand over his receding hairline. It's kind of a reminder.
Self-conscious about it.
Yeah, he's very self-conscious about the receding hairline. That's a great. Oh, that's all that stuff. So good. I love, again, the Ted Danson performance. I love when he's like, "John, I'm uncomfortable with you delegating authorities to my employees." He's trying to be so specific and so businessy, and that's not Sam's thing. I just love that he has to like kind of go into a lower gear to talk to John Allen Hill.
Yeah. A week later, Sam and Carla open up the bar in the morning. They said that Hill hasn't retaliated since losing the stairs. Sam called his bluff, and he goes back to the pool room, and he walks right into a brick wall, cutting off the bathrooms and pool room. And then after the commercial, we cut to him coming back down the stairs and shouting at John that the Constitution guarantees people the right to go to the bathroom and the right to play pool. Of course, this was back in 1990, before we realized that the rights in the Constitution are all imaginary.
Yeah, those are just suggestions. They're not laws or anything. Yeah,
right. Rebecca wants Sam to calm down, and Sam can't use the pool room unless he pays rent, according to John's lawyer. But at least Sam stole all the after-dinner mints from Johnson.
I like he's how happy he is.
Yeah. He's like, Look what I did.
He's so happy with himself.
And this is the point where Carla, Norm, and Cliff start taking bets on when Sam goes crazy. And they're like, Frasier, do you want to get in on this? He's like, I don't know. I'm a trained psychiatrist. You know, he knows all the symptoms. It gives him an unfair advantage. But I think by 8:15, he'll be spitting out blood.
He'll be spitting out blood. I also like that he respects the brick wall. He's like, the mason did exquisite work. He's just really appreciative of the brick wall. And that's, again, ramping it up further and further of Sam being like, oh, look what I did. Like, he's just completely gone nuts.
Then Woody comes in. He's all disheveled. He's been walking the streets kind of aimlessly, bumping into people, getting himself lost. And like, well, what's new?
What's new, Woody?
And he can't stop thinking about Kelly and the guy with the thumb. So Frasier tells him he's just got to confront the situation. Call Kelly and ask her about it. So Woody calls him, all right, but so help me God, if a man with a thumb answers.
The man with a thumb answers.
So he calls and he's like, it's him. It's the guy with the thumb. He had the nerve to say, hello. What's that mean in English?
What's that mean in English? Yeah. Hello.
And Norm's like, you know, Woody, I took some French in high school, and allo means I've got your girlfriend in my arms and soon we will be naked, you stupid cuckold.
I had never heard that word before this episode of Cheers, cuckold. I didn't know what that was. Now I know what it means.
And Cliff corrects him. He's like, no, it means I've got your girlfriend in my arms and we're already naked, you stupid cuckold. And Frasier's like, stop teasing the poor boy. What it simply means, Woody, is that I enjoyed your girlfriend.
He says it with that great relish, that great Kelsey Grammer relish. I enjoyed your girlfriend. And they're all like, ha ha ha, like they're all doing the French laugh. Like they're being so mean to him.
And they wind him up because Woody's just like, listen, Monsieur Thumb. It's like, and Frasier takes the phone away from him before Woody can threaten this guy any further. And Frasier starts speaking in French, asking about the photograph with Kelly. And he just kind of chuckles to himself. He's like, okay, mercy, mercy, thank you. And he hangs up the phone and he tells Woody that there's this elderly cleric, you know, old man who took the picture, and it's nothing for him to worry about. And Woody's so elated and relieved that he's going to go write a love letter. And then to Norman Cliff, Frasier admits he has no idea who he was talking to. He's like, Woody dialed the wrong number, and somewhere in Belgium, there's a very confused chocolatier.
I liked it. For how little that guy must have talked, Frasier was able to figure out that the guy was a chocolatier. Like, he barely lets the guy talk. How did he know? How did he figure that out?
And then Sam comes in with a sledgehammer. And he's like, I'm taking that wall down. And Carla's like, no more bets. And Sam tells him to remember where they were the day the wall came down. And he starts swinging that hammer at the brick wall. And he swings it 6 times, each time expending more and more of his energy and strength until finally he's just winded and exhausted. He's like, is it down yet?
You're not making a dent in it.
And Rebecca brings John in to settle the matter, and Sam agrees to talk with him. But he's like, yeah, I'll talk with him, as he's carrying the sledgehammer. And Rebecca's like, no, you can't take the sledgehammer. And Sam's like, I wasn't going to hit him with it. I was just going to drop it on his foot. And Carla's like, Sam, give me the sledgehammer. And she takes it from him, and she drops it on Rebecca's foot. And she's like, it would have worked.
Which means Rebecca's toes are now crushed, is what that means, right?
Yeah.
That's not just a owie. Yeah, that is, you've broken through 4 of my toes.
Kirstie Alley recovers from that too quickly. Sam asks John to sit down so they can work this out. He's like, we have to be able to coexist because we need each other. It's a symbiotic relationship. John's like, I don't need you.
And God, you're evil.
You're evil. Just this facade that he was trying to put up of professionalism and courtesy just crumbles. And you're evil.
And I love that he falls over. He goes, and he says to no one in particular, I can't fight the evil. He just refers to him. I can't fight the evil. It's so good. To dance, it's so funny. Like, I just love you. You're evil.
And he was so happy to get the bar back. He thought he'd finally won. He's like, but now I know that he has to pay John's rent because John owns the back rooms and John has all the control. And he's ready. He's like, you are God, John.
And I am nothing.
And I am nothing. And John says he doesn't want the money. And Sam's like, really? He's like, nope, I just want you to give that speech in public every month when the rent is due. Sam flips out. And he's not, you're not God, you're evil, you're nothing. And Sam will stick it to him by writing that rent check every month just to get back at him. And every month he's going to write in the memo part, you're not God. What do you think about that?
And then King Curtis with an absolutely perfect response. Well, you've certainly put me in my place. So good. So
he takes the rent check and he tells Sam that he, by the way, he had his Corvette towed again. And he's like, I didn't park in your space. He's like, no, but you did park in a fire lane. I don't make the rule, Sam. I simply inform the authorities when they're broken.
I mean, that is on Sam, right? Don't park in a fire lane. What are you doing?
Sure, he's like, this guy's driving me insane. And Curly, well, that settles it. That's the official. He even said the words, I'm insane. Woody, who checked the board? Who won the betting pool? Woody's looking at it. You're not going to believe it, Sam. The winner of the $200 is our neighbor, John Allen Hill.
I love they made a board, right? They got the cardboard and some markers, and they made it. Like, everybody's got their digits. And I love that, like, some scene we never saw, they roped John Allen Hill in on it. Like, what are they doing? It's so...
And Sam's like, he won't let him get away with this. He needs to get his revenge somehow. And he's like, I'll take it up that stupid doormat. And he tries to rip the mat in half with his bare hands. It's like, that's obviously not going to happen.
No.
And then he hits it with a sledgehammer. And of course, it's a mat. You're not going to damage it with a sledgehammer. That's not doing anything. So he tries to burn it with a lighter and it won't burn.
Burn, Donald, burn.
It won't burn. That's when he's like, this is actually a pretty good mat.
Yeah. Going, yeah. Yeah. I love they're all like nodding. Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, I know what I'll do. I'll take this home to my place. It'll be my doormat. And he'll have to replace it with one of those cheap ones that wears out all the time. So John will have to replace it every month. And Sam just kind of with the crazy eyes, he's like, I win. And he runs out of the bar. And that's how it ends.
I mean, there's nowhere else to go with it at that point. Right. I do feel the episode ends like kind of weirdly abruptly, but I also know there is no way to go with it. And especially it's okay if you know that Keane Curtis is going to come back. This is going to be an ongoing thing. But yeah, it is a tour de force performance by both Ted Danson and Keane Curtis. Just how much Sam just loses his friggin' mind. He lets this guy get to him for no good reason. And Keane Curtis, just every line is just, well, you suddenly put me in my place. Like,
so good.
So good.
For Norm's tab, he had 5 beers this episode, so he's up to 869. So, I mean, between Sam and John, who would you give the employee of the week to?
I mean, it's got to be, just for this one special, it's got to be John Allen Hill, right? I mean, it's just so, just flawless, just a flawless performance. I mean, the lines are funny. The lines are great, but just the way, just the fact that in the beginning he's able to be buddies with Sam with the whole the joy it must bring you like that and then it turns and then it just turns and the you know it's all just I mean, you know, when you're a professional actor, that's your job, right? Is to be good at it. But like, I'm always just so impressed at someone who can come in and be a guest star and just crush it like that. Absolutely crush it.
Cheers did that. Cheers had a lot of guest stars that did that. They were very generous in giving the guest stars some amazing parts, some amazing
lines. Absolutely. We talked about that in the very first episode, episode. Yeah. Cool Hand Luke. Yeah. the greatest example, Sinatra. I mean, so they were willing to give great jokes to side people. So, yeah, it's just good writing, man. So good.
I'm glad you said John, because I was thinking all along that I assumed you would pick John and I would just split it with Sam because of Sam's over the top performance and the way it escalates throughout is so good. It's such more of a flashier, meatier performance, whereas John's is very subdued, but no less just like precise, almost like surgical in how funny he is. Yeah. But I think between the two of them, they can split it. So yeah, we'll give it to both of them.
Yeah, I mean, just Sam's just talking to no one. I can't fight the evil is so sad. Just, you're not used to seeing Sam laid low like that. And then even the little Woody subplot is great. It's only two scenes, but even that's a great little bit of, like, you know, that he's, she sent him a sexy picture and he thinks that's great. And then it's like, oh, wait a minute. You know, like, oh, gee, you know, this is, how did I get
that? Imagine Kelly with the guy with a thumb.
Hello. What does that mean? He's so offended. It's so good.
Despite how much I love Sam and, John in this episode, for my home run, it has to be the whole bit with Norm freaking out about somebody else sitting in his seat.
That whole extended sequence. That's a great. It's
just the whole, I'm Jeffrey, I'm Hillary. What do you do, Norm? I sit there.
Norm goes through life with no airs at all, except in Cheers, where in Cheers he's the cock of the walk. And when someone doesn't recognize that, it's not even that it offends him. It just sort of takes his breath away because he can't understand it, you know. And then the physical comedy of it, that he slithers out from under the crowd, it's great stuff. I do really like the joy it must bring you. Just is so great. It's so fun that he's like, that John Alan Hill is like down to joke like that. Like, it's you realize that he could be a pal if Sam just didn't blow it with the stupid Matt, right? If he had just said, thank you, John. Oh, this is great. That's it. It would have been fine, you know? I will say, I know that they later had John Alan Hill have an affair with Carla, which is not like my favorite. I find that to just be kind of like, I don't know about that, but maybe if I rewatch them. But just, you want to like jump into the screen and grab Sam and go, Sam, just don't do that. Just take the stupid Matt and it'll all be fine. You know, he just doesn't. So close.
My runner up is John's line after Sam writes the check. You're not God. He's like, well, you certainly put me in my place.
Oh, so good. Just King Curtis on a really great episode of MASH. And he's very, very funny in that one. And I've seen him in other. Every time he shows up in some sitcom, I'm like, oh, I love that guy. Yeah, I love that guy. So.
And we haven't even gotten into the joke that you alluded to with your entrance when he starts showing up in the episode by pronouncing Sam's name with like three syllables.
Yeah, the dreaded like, oh no. He's so bad. So I will need to point out, as a film historian, I have to do my due diligence. This episode, as you pointed out, is called Bad Neighbor Sam. That is a riff on a 1964 Jack Lemmon film called Good Neighbor Sam, which has no connection plot-wise. It's about people that live in a like suburbia. Yeah, it has no connection to this episode, but clearly the writers were just borrowing that title. And one other thing, as I mentioned, I go back and I listen to our old episodes. Again, I don't know if that's weird or not. There's an episode that I did with you, season 4, Dance, Diane, Dance.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I do not point out in that episode that that title is taken from a movie. And for some reason, this is still bothering me to this day that I didn't point it out at the time, even though that episode was like 5 years ago. But that is a riff on a 1940s movie called Dance, Girl, Dance with a young Lucille Ball. And that movie is mostly famous by the fact that it was directed by a woman named Dorothy Arzner, who was the only woman to direct movies for the major studios during the early studio era of movies. And I feel like that's the kind of thing that Diane would appreciate, would be the work of Dorothy Arzner, because she directed like 6 or 7 movies and then retired and became a teacher and stuff like that. But so, yes, I listened to that episode a couple of weeks ago and I was like, oh, I didn't mention that. Why didn't I do it? So you're bringing it up again.
About time.
We've been waiting. Sorry about that.
No, I appreciate it. And bringing the film history. That's what you do now.
There you go. Yep.
In addition to that, what else do you do? Where else can listeners find you on the Fire and Water Network?
Like I said, I'm on the network, the main show. I'm wrapping up. Actually, probably by the time everybody hears this, Mountain Comics will have just wrapped up after its 7th season or something like that. And then, of course, every month I do Fade Out, which is my movie podcast.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for coming. Looking forward to having you back again next season. And thanks to all of you who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheerscast is supported by the Right On Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FWPodcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, we're closed.
You know, funny thing is, when I got my bar back just recently, I thought, hey, you got, Sam, you're on top of the world here, and your life's finally turning around. You're in charge of your own destiny. But I was wrong. You have my bathrooms, Mr. Hill. You hold all the cards. You're everything. You're God. I'm nothing. Here's your rent.
I'm sorry, Sam. I was wrong. I don't want your money.
You don't?
No, I just want you to make that speech to me in public every month when your rent is due.
No, no. I was wrong. You're not God. You're some big, petty, mean nothing. I'm going to give you your rent every month and every month from here on out. And I'll tell you, every time I do, I'm going to write right down here on the memo part, you're not God. There. How do you like that?
Well, you certainly put me in my place.